There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Hero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am Epic Boss McFall. Along with me is Golden Age Ibbet.
Hello, I'm Golden Age Ibbet.
And Soapbox Klotz, which actually, you've not been living up to your name lately. We might have to come up with something new for you, sir.
Doubtful.
I thought he soapboxed last episode, didn't he?
Not like he had. If he did, I don't remember it, which means it was not nearly as epic and awesome as he has been in the past. As much grief as we give him, we actually love when the crate comes out and he gets on. we have some lots of headlines. So, Emmett, let's go ahead and jump on that.
Sounds good. All right. So, Spec Ops has reared its ugly head once again. No, not a big surprise, because we talked about this last week. We knew it was coming. No, I take that back. We've been in it for more than a week, haven't we? Why is this still saying? Why are the show notes still listing it as something new? Most people already have their beta ray build at this point. So, Spec Ops, that's our headline. PvP, that's what's reared its ugly head. We've gotten a new PvP, a real PvP, not a pre-VP with Destroyer and some other good suits, like other good weapons and suits. I completely lost my train of thought on this. Rogue's Alt, we should all have that by now, or at least the opportunity to buy Rogue's Alt. And we got an announcement earlier this week from MA Insiders and Marvel.com that Chapter 8 is next on the bubble, with Spider-Woman as the next carrier of the hammer.
It's Kurth, Breaker Kurth of Stone.
Yes, Angela, of course. What did I forget to mention? Angela. I was talking about the lock boxes and forgot about
Angela. Don't forget about one of the most epic characters of... Oh, I don't know. I just thought it didn't work out. Sorry, carry on.
Right. So that is our current list of headlines. Paul, what do we have on sale this week?
We still have the Staff of Storms on sale. Well, with PvP, we of course have the new PvP armory items. I'm not going to slide out the soapbox, but you guys know how I feel about those things.
Right. Don't spend your money, because right before the end of Spec Ops, there'll be some silver items that'll be just as good, right, or almost as good.
But in an interesting note, it's no longer on sale today, but we had a gold sale over the weekend that had the Tactician's E2 costume. And then we also had the Warbringer axe that was on sale over the weekend, which it had been quite a while since the last time that was on sale. I know there were a couple of people who didn't have it yet that were looking for it. So there was your opportunity. It has passed. So if you didn't grab it, you're SOL. But the axe being one of those top shelf items that people talk about as being one of those, once you have it, a near auto include for certain builds. So was available. Yeah.
I think it's one of those that you definitely want to pick up if you don't already have it. You know, it's ubiquitous, I guess, is the word. You know, you see it in so many teams, even now. Maybe not quite as popular as the cube, but certainly very popular.
I absolutely bought it up instantly. Now, it took about 5 seconds before I clicked on it to make sure they didn't trick me, because sometimes they will. They'll throw out a slightly different version, or instead the Warbringer axe, it's the War Splitter axe.
The War Beater. Yeah, the War Beater axe.
Even careful.
There was a War Splitter axe.
There was a War Splitter, but the other one, I like the other one. I like where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. But no, I did. I absolutely bought it. It's on my team, and thoroughly enjoy it. It's great to have that. It's one of the ones I think we've all agreed, at least here on the show, when we've polled our audience, we've all agreed that it's one of these staples. There's the Neurotrope, There's as much as some people don't like it, and it's fair enough to be. I'm not picking on Klaus. I mean, there's some people who have legitimate beefs with it, but the cube. Thank you. The cube is definitely a staple, and Warbringer Axe. I think there might have been one or two others that are close to being. You have to have these, but I think everybody should have those weapons at least have access to them.
Yeah,
you know, whether you use it or not.
The Scroll of Anglebob. That's another good one. Another freak one. The mystic.
What makes it a staple is months and years later, it just circles back around to being a very important weapon. It never gets nerfed. It's still, hey, there's this new group boss out, and if you have the Warbringer Axe, it's nothing, you know, type of deal. Or this PvP, the weapon to have is the Neurotrope because it'll take care of this thing that's going on, this meme or meta, or, you know, whatever. Not meme. We have memes meta in PvP, which we actually do, but that's not what I meant to say. So carry on. Sorry.
Oh, I'm done with the gold sales. So that was it.
Okay.
But I absolutely agree with the Warbringer Axe. I got it early. I was lucky. Like when I first got serious about the game, it went on sale. But now I'm caught in that limbo spot where like it's almost not worth it for me to bring it a lot of times because it's such low level, and I'm not going to pay to reforge it until I'm 300. So like it's just one of those awkward things where I'm like, I almost thought about buying it, but then I'm like, nah, I'm only 213, not quite close enough to 300, not 300, you know, so didn't really, like, if I was closer to 300, I probably would have tried to make the push to level real hard and then buy it at max level, but, because as we know, buying it straight up at 300 is slightly better than,
it gives you 10 extra levels, right, than reforging?
Yeah. Right. And you know, so sometimes when those opportunities are presented to us, we should take advantage of them. But so that's exciting. I'm glad that a lot of people who were waiting to get it finally had an opportunity. And that's the end of the gold sales.
Yeah. I see four-way flashers here. It says, I'm not buying a single gold item until I hit 300. It definitely depends on your strategy and what you're trying to do in the game. So honestly, if you're in PvP and you're competing, I mean, I'm talking about you're a competitor in PvP and you really want that adamantium, it might actually be worth it to go ahead and buy the axe or whatever. Now, I've got a quick question from you guys because watching the chat room. Did neither one of you hear the music as the intro?
No, we didn't hear it because I assumed it was just coming through for the Blog Talk Radio folks.
Okay, so I have to change a few things, so you may hear it as I play. I want, because the Kingfisher is coming up, and I need to make sure everybody can hear.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay,
I don't want you to miss that. So why don't we carry on with whatever is next? I guess it's because we don't have any new Spartans that I know of this week.
Right,
nobody reached out to me. So we'll hit the...
No, let's talk current events. Yeah, for sure. So PvP has been going on, and Angela is the PvP reward. Destroyer is the lockbox reward. And it is kind of funny. We talked about how weird it is having two lockboxes that potentially we could be going for right now. There's a few people out there who have their Enchantress already, but I'm not one of them. I'm still fighting group bosses, trying to get enough... enough lockboxes to unlock her. I'm at 6 out of 7 with the bar 2/7 of the way filled up. I think I just heard it. Charles, if you were waiting for a
feedback. Yeah, I found the channel. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt the show. Carry on.
God, no, not at all. I was vamping. that was me vamping.
I heard you talk about Enchantress. I did. I actually scored her yesterday.
Nice.
Or maybe this morning, but either way. Very nice. And I did ask the lounge when we teamed up with her, like, why is she getting so many turns? And somehow I did read the description, but I missed that she gets this magic missile marker or something every time. So she gets an extra turn as long as she has one of those.
Right, right.
On a full...
A lot of quick actions.
Yeah, so she has at least two quick actions, maybe three. And then that first action is not quick action, but if she has the magic missile... Whatever they call it, it's not right in front of me, and you know I don't memorize these things at all. But if she has one of those,
really,
basically, you can take a lot of turns, and you get it magic missile charge. Thank you, Tonfaman. And every time an ally is attacked, you get that.
So. Right, Right. So if you get a lot of attacks on you, then it just stacks those things up to where you can take turn after turn after turn. I'm looking forward to getting her just to play around and see what she can do. Looks like a good support character, not your tank, not your powerhouse damage dealer, but certainly a good support character. Right. For Destroyer, I've actually decided that I'm going to collect lockboxes until I have 80 of them.
Yeah, me too.
And then I'm going to start opening them, because there's no point, really. I mean, I can open one now. I know I'm going to get a new cover. Then I can open another 10. Maybe I'll get a new cover. But let's see. You know, let's go all 8 and let's see 8 stacks of 10 and see how we do with that. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
So Klotz and I were talking beforehand, and this plays right into this of we go through a drought, right? And I'm talking about it was 4 to 6 weeks of no new content other than the dailies. And honestly, we all agree, unless you're just hunting something specific, the only 3 days that are even worth playing besides getting the glove or getting the gold or the CP from farming is the AISO day, the EISO day, and then a close third, because some people don't care, is the weapons day. Because sometimes you can get some really good weapons on weapons
day. Right,
But now it's Spec Ops is going on. PvP 18 just dropped. We've got the news that you're going to... I don't know if you went as deep as you wanted to in that, but we do have Chapter 8 right around the corner.
Right. The good news is Chapter 8... So Spec Ops and Covert Ops are both time-sensitive, and PvP is time-sensitive. So, you know, really you need to pick the things that are going to go away the soonest. And maybe that's the daily, getting as many EISOs as you can before the day is over, making sure that you collect your UISO if you're still going for Spec Ops, getting in at least your 5 battles for PvP so you can get the lock boxes. And, you know, it's just a matter of making sure that you do the things in the right order. I don't mind... feast and, you know, having the feast. I do mind when there's a famine, obviously.
Right.
But there's so many things that are not time sensitive that can wait. Chapter 8, as you know, I'm going to be excited when Chapter 8 rolls out, but if I'm not done with getting all the things I want from Spec Ops, that's going to take a priority, and I might just dip in a little bit to Chapter 8. What I'd love to see, and I think, you know, we've all talked about this and wish that they would do this, is have a release schedule that is that keeps maybe two things rolling at a time. So as soon as Spec Ops and PvP are over, or maybe one of those two is over, then a new chapter rolls out, or a new Covert Ops thing rolls out, so that there's always a couple things going on. You know, like if you were to look at this like a Gantt chart, I don't know why I'm thinking all business today, but if you had this as a Gantt chart, there would be a lot of overlap, but not so much overlap that you've got all the stripes going on at the same time. That would be good. Obviously, we've talked about that.
Agent
so many
Graham
people
says Ibbot is wise.
Thank you, Agent Graham.
And he's right. He's right.
And it's not something that's you know new at all to any of this, but. If I was given the choice of having too much to do in this game or not enough to do, I'll pick obviously too much to do any day of the week. Because, you know, you maybe spend an hour while you're watching TV, knock out all your PvP battles, do a little Spec Ops, do some daily missions, etc. And, call it good.
You know, I twittered something out the other day that was, so daily check-in went from collecting from your agents and just sending out your flight deck to him, well, and then the daily mission, of course, because we were wanting to get the gloves, because who doesn't want to try to get the alt suit? So you had those three, which are doable in 10 to 20 minutes, versus now your daily check-in is make sure you've got something researching if you're on Spec Ops, because that takes a while. Get your daily in, because you need that. Farm if you need more crystals. Collect from your friends. Fight the group boss. Now you got to do your 5 battles so you don't miss out. I want Klotz to talk about this here in a second, because we were discussing that. But I actually ran into last night where I worked 13 hours away from the house. So I got in some stuff in the morning. I got the 3 or 4 group bosses knocked out, and that was about it. In the daily, I think I got the daily done maybe. And then last night I was trying to check in, and I just just couldn't do it. I didn't have the time. I didn't even get home till almost 1 a.m. So I was like, I just don't have the energy. The group boss, if they're there, will wait. I'll just get my little measly 10,000 from them because everybody else has killed them already. Right. We still have time to get the gloves, which I think I did accomplish the last glove today, finally, for Rogue's Alt. I haven't bought it yet, but I did get that. And then PvP is really the last 3 days. And other than the fact that they're giving lockboxes every day, which kills me that I don't always get in and do my five battles every day now. But Klotz,
right,
you were talking about that. What are your thoughts there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where there is so much to do and you got to prioritize. And if you have a busy life, like my life personally goes in stages where, you know, one day I'll be super busy, the next day I'll have a lot of free time. And it staggers like that because I'm a college student and I have some other things going on in my life too. And so sometimes it's just like you get home and you're like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. It's midnight. It's maybe even later. And, oh, I haven't logged in yet today. Okay, well, I got to go log in because I don't want to mess up my login rewards.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you're just like, all right, well, I got to do my PvP, basically everything you just said.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of, it's one of those things, you know, it's the feast or famine. It's tough. I absolutely agree with Ibit. There was a time when the release schedule was very fluid, you know, where like Spec Ops would come out and then, you know, a couple weeks into Spec Ops, PvP would come out. So we'd be, you know, easing out of Spec Ops. And
well, it actually, sorry to interrupt, but it actually, because I paid attention to that, it'd always be the last week of Spec Ops, PvP would launch. And then the last week of PvP, Spec Ops would launch. Because I only remember that because when we first started this show, people would ask us all the time, when's the next thing coming? And we noticed a pattern, so we could say, it's going to come here. You're going to get it here. And then they started rolling out chapters spontaneously. And I think the server migrations threw that whole thing off.
Yeah. And the delay that this Spec Ops had, we've almost got proof that they really intended for this thing to come out a lot earlier. Because, you know, usually when you look at the list of heroes, they're in the order that they're released. So even like the PvP one, if you didn't get the PvP hero, you'll still see it in place and unavailable, even though you've got stuff after that, right? Even though you've got characters after that you've bought or whatever. And the fact that Beta Ray Bill shows up in the list before Carolina Dean obviously means, how did I get into this window? Shows that that they really did plan to release the Spec Ops before they released Carolina Dean, that they really had this planned a lot earlier. So
And you were saying, Klotz, that you're hoping for something bigger with this storyline in Spec Ops.
Well, no. What I was saying is I think the story is fine. I like the story, but I was like, the delay that led to this, I expected some like really innovative new Spec Ops, you know, something akin to like the first time we got strike teams or just any of those kind of things, like an element of complexity that we hadn't really seen yet.
Yeah.
And it's not there. The Spec Ops follows, you know, the last couple, you know, it's got researchable items and you can farm pretty much everything. And that's great. You know, we talked about that when they first kind of launched that feature and we're like, that's a good feature. A lot of people like that feature. They like that they, you know, even after you've completed the Spec Ops, gotten the hero, there's this kind of slow burn thing that you can work towards. And that's all good. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, I was a little surprised. You know, I was caught off guard. I thought with the amount of time that it took them to get this out that there was going to be something more monumental. Sure. Which, you know, we could do all kinds of speculation as to why things are the way they are. I suspect that they probably have a smaller team than they've had in the past or something like that, which would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the whole thing is obviously they wanted to get it out sooner. When we pick apart the little pieces, knowing the patterns they've used in the past, we can, well, if it was just talking about, you look at it and you're like, well, it's pretty clear that this was meant to have come out weeks ago. And, you know, this kind of, the whole timeline is a bit disrupted at the moment, which is the way they've kind of been ever since that server migration. It's like, we get every, you know, we get the PvP, the spec ops and the new chapter. And then we go, you know, almost 2 months waiting for the next cycle of getting everything all at once. Hopefully that's not the new pattern. I really want to believe that that's not what they're looking to do.
Right.
I know, like, from the production side, no company wants to be in that position. You know, no developer wants to be like, yeah, let's release all the content and then none of the content and then all of the content.
Yeah, I mean, if this was their schedule, that means that they'd have to have all this stuff going through QA all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know that's not what they want. So... So I think that, you know, the fact that all this stuff dropped all around the same time is definitely not there.
And I gotta, I'll play devil's advocate with them a little bit, saying that there's probably things out of their control, albeit, you know, bugs pop up that just were not foreseen. There's some issues with troubleshooting QA. Maybe there's some commandments coming down from up high that change things at the last minute. I don't know, but I do know, as a person who's been in the service industry, like, you want to get something to a client. Something goes wrong that's out of your control. Again, listed those things of technical issues or bosses that have a different plan than you have. And you have to sit there, as Agent Woods does, or whoever else manages the @MAA insiders on Twitter. You know they want it to get it to us. And they feel horrible that they don't get to give it to us. Because as a creator of anything, you know, Ibit and I both created their podcast. You know, Klotz has always been writing and creating and working in stores. So we want to enjoy you enjoying what we make. They've got to be the same way as human beings. And it's probably killing them that they can't get this stuff out faster.
Yeah.
Besides all the other legitimate business points you make, because Ibit, you've said in the past, they're losing money essentially, or bringing in less money when they're not putting out new content. And I don't know if anybody
There's no reason for people to buy gold. There's no...
Yeah. I think they did maybe one gold sale in there, but it probably didn't net a whole lot. I mean, obviously, Ibit gave him this $50. His Pavlov's dog thing. Oh, gold sale. Here you go. Sorry.
That's right. My MAA tax is what I call it. So pay the MAA tax.
Yeah. So speaking of the gold sale, I actually I partook this time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, cool. Well, yeah. You know, the thing that I said during the content drought was, I was like, you know, I'm not going to spend money until there's content to do. And there's a lot of content to do right now. And here's the thing about gold in this game. You know, it's free-to-play game mechanics, you know, microtransactions. And we've talked before about the balance between convenience and cosmetic items and pay-to-win and everything. And one of the key things that MAA does, I think they do an okay job with balancing it, is they do the catch-up mechanic kind of thing. You know, like, if you don't have a ton of free time, spend a few bucks, and you can stay current. And so I grabbed the gold sale in anticipation that I may get, you know, I'm in the middle of my semester right now, so, like, midterms are coming and projects are going to start for the end of the semester, you know what I mean? There's going to be a point where I'm going to be like, I might not be able to, like, I may not get all of Destroyer's lockboxes. I may not get all of Enchantress's lockboxes. So I'm like, I better prepare. You know, I better take advantage of the gold sale, get that good price, and, you know, get enough to, so that if I have to buy some lockboxes, I can do that. Or if, like, with the Rogue event, like, I knew Sturdy Gloves. And I was like, well, you know, the Sturdy Gloves are only 3 gold a piece. So if I've got to, you know, pay to jam through some parts of this covert task, no big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. But there's content to be had now, which is good. So they earned my bucks again.
You're doing a good job of rewarding them for getting content out, right? Well, if nothing else, like the fact that, oh, hey, we're getting some more money. We're the gold sale's working because we've got content out. They probably see it. You know, they probably see.
Oh, yeah.
How much money people spent during this most recent gold sale versus the one that was during the drought.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a huge difference, you know, some magnitude.
Okay. I totally just pictured Mickey Mouse sitting, you know, behind closed doors counting the money going,
right. Oh, this gold sale was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Where's my money, bitch?
Sorry.
all right. Well, let's talk about some of the things that have come out of the... the PvP tracker.
Real quick, though, like you just referenced it. There was, wasn't there an animated thing a couple years ago where they made that joke? They turned Mickey Mouse into like this horrible like pimp. And like, and he's like, "Where's my money?" And he's like, "Oh no,
And not possibly,
because the moment you brought that up, I just started thinking about that. I'm like, I could just see him like sitting like all gangster, you know, in the shadows, like
like old just see the outline of his ears.
Yeah,
better get that revenue.
All right, let's talk about this the PvP here. That remind me who the person is that that assembles all this data.
That would be, he used to go by Agent Gecko. I think he's changed his agent name. In the lounge, I'll just say his first name because he's kind of, he's never been super shy, but he's always said referred to his agent. But John in the lounge puts this together for us.
Cool. This is, you know, the MEA PvP project, the thing that, you know, you can opt in and start tracking everything you do in PvP because all that data does get used and put together, assimilated into some really, really interesting information.
And before you read it, before you read it, when that's offered to our level fours as part of that whole, because it's a huge data package. So if you're a level four Patreon or higher, you get it. And I will apologize. Jonathan sent these to me a good month ago, and it's a lot of just time intensive work to get them distributed, which is why he sends it to me to do it, which is fair enough because Jonathan crunches these things like amazing. If you're itching to get it, go ahead and hit me up in the lounge or you can hit us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com and I will go ahead and get you top of the list to get it out to you this week. I know we're, a week or two in the PvP and it's on me. It's not on him that I didn't get it out. So I do apologize. But here are some of the numbers that get generated from tracking your teams and stats.
Cool. So this came from the pre-VP, correct? Not from the current.
I think this is this is week one from the current.
Oh, okay. All right. So you said he gave it to you a month ago. I was like, really?
The email came in today. I'm sorry. He gave me the trackers a month ago. So
okay. Gotcha. All right. So here's some key points that we've learned so far from PvP. Molly is a hell of a drug. She'll do your face in completely. Early day high volume strategy does not net more AFK fights. So if you start doing tons of PvP matches on the first day PvP launches, it's not going to get you more PvP AFK fights. Scoring is still skewed towards defender. If you lose on defense, you aren't penalized as hard as when you lose on offense. Exhausted is your friend. It's going to save you from crazy children like Molly. Null is now the defender's go-to character.
Interesting. 33%.
So yeah, one out of every three people is using Null. Cube and the weather control device are everywhere, as we kind of knew. The T-Bolt glove ain't so bad. Pretty annoying, actually. So if you're not running with that, you might want to throw that in your build. Update your army for cheap, even for free. Use lockets and gloves. Yeah, once you unlock Rogue's alts, once you get Magic's alts, those lockets and gloves have a great PvP score, so throw them into your armory ASAP. Some conclusions we can draw. Matching engine seems honest, but we don't have large enough sample yet to prove it. Put a synthetic cube in your D team if you haven't already. Everyone is doing it still, or the weather control device.
Yep.
Find a team to stop Molly, Gamora, Null, and Invisible Woman. If you do that, you're going to win most of your fights. High volume offense early, barely affected defense volume. We knew that, or we talked about that a minute ago. Nerf Null ASAP with the weather control device, the cube, Neuro Purge, anything that gives off balance. Some thoughts and observations that came from this. Dodge seems to have dodged away, finding it not proccing as much, but they again, my matches are pretty quick. Turn order is your nemesis, even with an amazing team. If Molly gets going, hope that you have big and fast on your agent for a chance at extra turns or tag team on an unnerfed Null. Man, it's early. I already have 100 attacks, says Agent Gecko. Sheesh, I need a life. So great information there.
That is the summary of the full document that with graphs and in-depth details that will be going out to our level fours as well. That's cool. Part of the rewards for level four. And again, apologies. February was a super busy month. So there's going to be a super pack of cards going out in March because I never got the cards out in February. So basically, you're going to be getting a double pack of cards coming up in the next week if you're a level two or higher Patreon pledger.
Cool. Very cool.
And we got a lot of new ones. So cool.
And we get some stuff to get to, including Kingfisher and some From the Field. But let's really quickly talk about Chapter 8. Yes. So MA Insiders and Marvel.com had the scoop on... wow, I just lost that window. Holy cow. Had the scoop on Chapter 8 coming out. And... obviously, looks like it's going to be great, right? Yeah. We got Spider-Woman, a refactor with Spider-Woman finally. With her new alt.
Just to clarify, she gets refactored and she gets an alt, which changes what she does. Because that's what happened with Luke Cage. He got refactored to be better, and then Null changed that up as well. Yes?
No, The alt was the refactor.
Did he get refactor.
Some
changes?
Yeah, as well? I thought he got some changes. Okay.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. Is he got his original costume got refactored a bit, and then people were actually messing around with him, and they're like, he's not. At that point, he wasn't just relegated to the flight deck. People were playing with him a little bit, and I don't think he was like a top tier PvP contender, but you could play him in PvE and have a good time and get decent results. Yeah, but then Null came out, and I mean,
yeah. So, it made us so obviously Null was good enough to make me forget about. Yeah.
Now here's something interesting. Spider-Woman's, I believe, I don't have the data to back it up, but I'm pretty sure she's been refactored once.
That's what somebody was saying in the Agent Grimm said that this is going to be her second refactor. So
how bad is that? The first one herself was just not great. They refactored her, still wasn't great. So now they're going to do it again and give you an alt.
Right. And so she's going to be, that alt is going to be Kurth, Breaker of Stone. Great look, by the way, the artwork, that they posted on her. It's going to be great just running her for the new look of her, alt alone, let alone what they do as far as her abilities and stuff. So that's going to be pretty cool. There's no release date announced. It's probably coming soon. Well, it is coming soon. Who knows? I mean, like I said, they've got a lot of stuff going on right now. So this is probably going through QA at this point because they usually don't even announce anything that's upcoming until it's already in QA.
So now... Did you guys see the article about Spider-Woman's big reveal there? Did you read it or did...
No, yeah. I have not had a chance to read it. No.
One of the key things that came out of it that I found really interesting is Woods said that they have had the costumes and the characters selected for everybody for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they have the art assets for everybody except for the last of the worthy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, and they're like, they've got it. He's like, yeah, it all looks great. It's awesome. It's all amazing. You know, and he said something along the lines of, they basically have had this planned for over a year, that this was where they were going.
Right.
And I thought that was,
interesting.
That's really interesting, really impressive, because I think Playdom gets a lot of flack for being a little more fly by the seat of their pants than they maybe are.
Yeah.
But you know, this highlights that key element of, if you communicate and you talk about what's going on internally, you know, then people get a more clearer picture of what's going on. And I thought that was really fascinating that they had really kind of planned that they were going to do this Fear Itself alternate arc from way back. Like basically, you know, that would put it back at late, 2 years ago, you know, so... That's around the time of like the Murder World Spec Ops and Nico Minoru coming out and stuff. Yeah. That's a lot of foresight. That's a lot of planning.
It is.
I was really impressed by that, and so I wanted to, like, if Playdom's listening, keep talking about stuff like that, because that really, you won my loyalty from that. Cause like, I was like, oh, you've had this all planned from the beginning. That's amazing. Because like, you were probably sitting there laughing at us when we're like, Luke Cage is garbage. And you know, so-and-so like listing off all these characters and they're like, dude, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's coming. Like, yeah, exactly.
It's coming. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah, no, I was really impressed that they had the foresight. And I'm still really impressed that this event has come out so good, I guess, is the simple way to put it. Because Fear, as we talked about in the past, Fear itself wasn't particularly popular when it hit the comic books. It's one of those things that's got kind of a little bit of a cult following. Sorry, that's a directly related to the storyline joke. There was a bit of a cult following for it for people who really liked the storyline. But like when it first hit, it wasn't considered a commercial success or anything like that internally for Marvel. It wasn't like anything compared to some of the major events they've done, like AVX and other things. You know what I mean? So to see it kind of like come to fruition in the game and really just be better than its, you know, influencing part is really great. And I'm really excited to see who the other breakers are, the other worthy.
For sure.
And now that I know that they have it all planned out too, I'm like just super excited to see where they're going. Because I love that story arc and everything. I just wanted to give, you know, credit where credit was due, that they kind of threw that out there. They dangled the carrot for me, if you will. And that's a big thing, because that's a step in the right direction, is communicating a little bit more and just kind of letting us know what's going on.
For sure.
And I know about the same time, so it was at least over a year ago, Woods put out there that he had submitted storylines for Spec Ops up through like 27 or 28, and we're on 24 right now. So they definitely have a long running vision.
And that was there. And that was a few Spec Ops ago that he talked about that. So who knows?
Yeah.
How far ahead they are now?
Yeah. So in the Agents Only Lounge, we have a friendly game wager prediction thing going on for the worthy to see who's going to be it. And the idea is to pick the right hero and the right worthy. That they turn into, right? Worthy character that they turn into. So here is what's going on right now. The right hero was picked by Brad W.J. Hines. Picking the right worthy was Frank Allen and Lewis Chad Castaneda. And worth a mention, Kingfisher picked Null for this chapter. This is after Null came out. Matt Brittle picked Snorri Gunnjonsson as the breaker of odds. And Matt Brittle also got a real pick, but was wrong on both counts. So that's what's going on. So it's difficult to predict. I mean, it's fun because it's so
difficult. It'll get easier and easier, though, as we get closer to the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Well, there's only so many more they can throw out there.
There's still a bunch of heroes to pick from. So, it's, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be easier to pick the breaker, but not necessarily the hero. One more quick thing. Marvel Avengers Alliance Playdom is giving out an anniversary gift to celebrate 3 years of the game. So far, only that gift is to its employees. We're going to find out more. Hopefully soon they'll have something for us, but announce.
I got mine. You didn't get yours?
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, darn.
Jeez. We're making a sarcastic point that we're not employees of Playdom.
I see what you're saying. Yes, the Playdom gave out posters of any character they chose, or any character the employee chose, so they could choose one of the characters and they'd get the full color artwork on a poster. They tweeted that out yesterday. So, hey, you know, they've got the anniversary on their minds and they haven't let us down the last couple of years with giving us something. So hopefully, even if it's something small, hopefully they've got something in the works.
You know what? Yeah. A new uniform would be nice, you know, whatever in the game, but I will take a full color poster of, you know, the different versions of Hulk standing next to each other. I played them. Just say it. I will put that right behind my head with a big Playdom logo if you'll send that to me.
Shipping. I'm sure they don't want to
do a poster.
Well, you know, that does bring up the idea that they could totally have a merch store for the game. They've got these art assets and everything. They can do some really awesome stuff with it. I love the art of Avengers Alliance. I've kind of hinted at it before. I know Sam Woods does most of it, and I really love the polish. The unified art style is the other big thing that I really like. You can tell that it's generally the same people that are working on this. You know what I mean? They're not just hopping around or anything. But yeah, I mean, using some of that art asset to do some really sweet merch would be awesome. I'd love like a mug or something to set on my desk or a poster, anything like that would be great.
That actually would be really cool. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where like all they have to do, like they could do it through like one of those sites that'll just, you know, print to order or whatever. So they could totally like just assign somebody an afternoon. Hey, go use Photoshop, well, do up some stuff. And, well, now we've got a merch department.
You know here's the thing, they've got Disney backing them now. That to me alone would say they have just massive merch connections that they seem to be made for pennies on the dollar.
I'm sure of that. But
before we hit the king, because we are coming up on that, I want to ask one last question. We're talking about refactors. Loki was a refactor when this Spec Ops launched. I haven't seen a huge difference with him. I have him up to level 14. So, of course, in the team up, I took him in. I liked him before, but he's a very cerebral character. You have to really think about how to use him. I didn't see a refactor that made me see anything different. He didn't hit harder. He didn't dodge more. I'm not seeing the refactor. What do you guys think?
I have not tried him since the refactor. So that was a good reminder. You and the chat room reminded me that I need to get back in there and play with Loki, especially apparently with Null. Apparently he makes a good combo with Null.
That's what I'm reading too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's see. I've got the audio pulled up, kind of, sort of. Where are you? There we are. Okay, let's see. This should work. So here we go. Or you know what? It helps if I unmute it. That would always be.
Yeah, yeah. Always a plus. Yeah.
Just kidding, YouTube.
Here we go. Me McFall, me know how to do things.
Build me up. What is up from the Helicarrier? Don't break my heart. And that is how it's done. Mic drop. I'm Mr. Kingfisher, or I guess I'm Mr. 745. And if you're wondering what you're listening to, it's not the Tonys, Grammys, No Whammies. All those award shows are the same. At some point, we know Kanye's going to interrupt someone on the stage. This, on the other hand, well, this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. For this week's segment, first of all, we're quite behind on the All Hail the King videos. I am going to do my best to catch up. Of course, it stems in part from how the game releases new content. And speaking of that, I'm very happy that Spider-Woman is going to be the next worthy, and I sort of figured she would be. But even though I've been advocating for Chapter 8's release, I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of scared about it coming out soon. I'm simply not ready for it video-wise. For one, I'm still not caught up on all the PvP videos for the new characters. By that I mean Enchantress and Beta Ray Bill. Then in the middle of Spec Ops, they dropped a new PvP season. And of course, the Modern Rogue task list finally came to an end. And there was great timing on that as well. But even worse for me, I'm going on vacation starting on the 14th. So I believe I'm already going to be in the middle of vacation when PvP season ends. But if Chapter 8 launches then, I'm in serious trouble. Honestly, it could ruin my vacation. I know that sounds crazy, but let me try to explain. No matter how much time and effort I put into videos, I could make the greatest video of my life. It won't get nearly the views that new content does, especially new chapters. So I won't get the same views or the same subscriber gain. So basically what I'm saying is, besides Season 2 chapters being my favorite thing by far in the game, it's not just a matter of me waiting to finish it. That would be completely fine, but I've also been waiting between 4 and 5 months to get that exposure, and I may miss out. That makes me sad, but maybe it'll come next week, and then I'll be able to cover it before I leave. I guess it's not that major in the grand scheme of things, but I take the game pretty seriously. Briefly going back to Chapter 8's reward hero, I expected Spider-Woman to be worthy, but not the Breaker of Stone. When I think Juggernaut, I don't think Jessica Drew. Nancy Drew, maybe. The Breaker of Oceans better be Namor, and not someone odd like Colossus or Black Cat, the Breaker of Oceans. Everyone knows cats hate water. Come on, Playdom. By the way, I do feel the need to read one of these comments on this article, and I believe that this person actually contacted me as well. They have a very serious point. Instead of new releases, please take some time to fix the game. There are players like me who can't collect gifts from friends, add or remove allies, or answer to things requested is what I think they meant. I'm in the same exact situation as this guy, and this is the option they said they were given. To either delete their account or continue playing and stop complaining. If that's true, those options aren't very good. Obviously, I can't delete my account. So if that's the case, I'm never going to get gifts again. Let me tell you, that does not help with many quests, especially getting unstable ISO 8 and trying to complete Spec Ops quickly or when trying to farm. Also, my in-game energy reserves are going down and there's currently no way to get it back up. I've tried every tip that I was given and nothing has worked. So for anyone else in the same position, I'm sorry, but it doesn't look like there's any fix in sight. I'm really just hoping that it doesn't spread, because if I got this problem, especially if I was a new player, I would not continue playing this game. Similar things kept me from getting into Tactics, and look what happened to that game. Well, as far as this week's All Hail the King video, I am behind, but my Enchantress is at level 10. Shh, keep that a secret though. Still, she is going to be ready to go for a PvP episode, and we'll be teaming her up with the likes of Loki, Pestilence Beast, and Gnoll. So yeah, we may have to jump around a bit this week, but I can bring you a double All Hail the King video week featuring Beta Ray Bill and then Enchantress. So yeah, that should be pretty awesome, and hey, maybe Chapter 8 will come out as well. I suppose I don't have to sleep. However, as far as this segment, we are coming to the end. So I want to thank you all for watching, and then I'll throw it back to those guys.
Lots of stuff flying back and forth there. You know, I wish we could help the king as far as like interning or helping him set up whatever he needs to get caught up. But would it be out of the realm of possibility for people to send in tickets on his behalf saying, hey, this still isn't fixed for him. He's a major influencer of the game. And maybe if they got number of, thousands of tickets in all on his behalf, then they'd look at it. Cause I know there's somebody else who plays who had, one of the researches for, I don't think it's a synthetic cube. It's one of those covert ops where you're supposed to farm something and you build the weapon and it's years old. And it's still sitting there. Now, it doesn't affect this gameplay. It's not like you can't collect from friends, because that's horrible. You know, you can't build up your energy. You can't get the silver. There's a lot of things you can't do if you can't do that. But their answer to this other guy about this task still being on his menu going, it's not affecting your game, so we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Which partially I get. I mean, if they're shooting bugs for the new content and constantly trying to push out this new content, something that's not a game breaker, I understand. And maybe, just maybe, it's such a small population of the game playing community that has the problem that the king has that it doesn't warrant it. But I kind of think they should do something.
Ultimately, like, any portion of their player base not having access to basic features of the game is a problem. Right. And it should be addressed. It should definitely be a high priority on their bug fix list. Sorry. Just threw it all together. I'd be really interested to see the actual responses that this other person got, because the tone of that was like basically like shut up or shut up or put up kind of thing. Was like, that is very out of character for any company,
and especially this one. I mean, even before Disney took over, they were very polite in how they phrase things. They may have said no, but they were very polite about it. They were nice. They were nice when they asked you to leave. Just saying.
Yeah. So I wonder. I mean, because my whole thing is like, immediately upon hearing that, I was like, "Well, what? Like, you say what? You told somebody to either quit or deal with it? Like, that's a lot of things have to happen." Logically, in my mind, to get to that point, right? Like, I think there's got to be, I imagine there's got to be a stream of support tickets that are just not nice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Before it gets to that point, but that might not be the case. And if it's not the case, if said person is listening, or if you hear through the grapevine, get back to us. And if you've got a trail of these support ticket responses and you can show us the trail, I'd love to see it. And then we can talk about that further, because that's absolutely something I'd love to call Played Amount on if they're goofing up, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't tell customers to just shove it. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. When it's a legitimate complaint, if you're complaining the right way. I mean, that's the whole thing. Support tickets. Some people use them as this, like, vent, this vent box where they're just going to, like, insert expletives and, you know, accuse Playdom people as being responsible for the Holocaust and other terrible things. Because, I mean, that's really the level of vitriol that you see at times.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, so that's the whole thing. I would really love to see the trail that led up to that. But, yeah, that's definitely something that needs to get fixed. I mean, it's affecting some number of the population. Any number is not inconsequential when you're talking about basic features. And who knows if that could happen at any time for any of us other players. You know, like, it's in their interest to troubleshoot that now when it's relatively minor before it becomes this huge issue that affects everybody.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Nope, agreed. Yeah, they definitely need to get on that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. It depends on where you play in the world. I imagine I would hope that they have a support ticket system in your language, because I could also see if they only have an English-based system, which I seriously doubt, but it is possible that, and definitely not mocking anybody that has written in to us or spoken to me directly through chat, but sometimes you really have to read hard what somebody's writing to understand what they're saying.
What the real problem is. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially if you're not a great communicator, period, that's hard. But then you add, you know, English as a second language or a broken language, and you're trying to communicate. Because I know I chat with some people in Russia who they are not very solid in English, and I know zero Russian or whatever it's language is called, Slavic, I think. And so we have to work hard to communicate to each other is what I'm saying. And when you're reading these tickets and you're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a day that you have to clear, dealing with something like that will make it a lot more difficult to answer. And then if they feel like you're being ugly at some point, but I still don't, I would love to see the proof in it, because I'm with you, Klotz. It's still just so out of character of them just to say, put up or shut up. Although somebody did mention a recent one says they may not have actually said that, but it might be what they said in between the lines. And that's, I could see that, especially if you took it that way. And there's a time when they say this ticket's closed. Like, there's nothing we can do. This ticket's closed. But what I've been seeing reported lately is, hey, we've sent that to the developers. We've sent that to this particular department, troubleshooting or QA, and they're working on it. Thanks for reporting it. We're going to close this ticket. But it has been actually sent on to the right department.
Now, that was one of those things when they first made the migration to Disney customer support that we talked about. You know, like, we, on one hand, we talked about how it might be better because they're going to have access to Disney resources, and that's good.
Yes.
But I think what we're seeing in the general theme of most responses we're getting nowadays is, we've passed this on to the development team. Thank you. We've passed this on to the development team. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, that's troubling because, like, I would like to think that with a game like this where we spend, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, gold sales are not cheap. I mean, that's $50 for a gold sale. That's very close to the price of a AAA game. And there are some people who spend that every month when the gold sales come up. So that's, like, think about that. You know, that's you're basically buying a AAA game every month or every month and a half or whatever.
But devil's advocate, sometimes the customer support department isn't the department that knows how to resolve it. You know, they have to pass it on.
Excuse me. They did before. You know, they had a team of people who at least knew what was going on and knew how to answer questions.
Yeah,
Before the Disney, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And people are saying, if PD listens, come on, we've established a list. We're one of the 40 people they follow on Twitter. So, you know, they might not listen every time, but a lot of times like this, I'll make a point and I'm tracking the numbers. It's like after 50 minutes, say, hey, we really dug into something deep for your game, had a lot of community response. Here's where you might want to listen. And they've listened specifically to those in the past, for sure. So we'll put that out there. We'll put out the Kingfisher time and let them hear it and hear our responses. And quite possibly it might influence them to look into something else. And sometimes people just don't know. You know, there's definitely insulation in companies. And especially with them being moved into the Disney support area, I'm imagining there's a lot more insulation there than there used to be.
Could be, yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully, because Kingfisher is so high profile,
yeah.
Hopefully hearing this and knowing that he's having problems. I mean, how many players has Kingfisher kept in the game, by giving them strategies and giving them tools and tips and ways to enjoy the game more, that has kept them playing and maybe kept them buying gold every time. So
yeah.
he's a very prominent face in the fan base for MAA. So they need to make sure they take care of this for sure.
Absolutely. And let's see what else we have here. I'm looking at strategy, and we're talking about future content and this kind of thing. Do you guys have any specific strategy going on in PvP, or just kind of letting it run right now?
It's pretty early. I mean, the strategy that I have is get my five attacks in, so that I can get the lockboxes. It's almost too early to start looking at, long periods of losing to say, okay, what do I need to change? It's still kind of early. I mean, I'm still, some of my matches are even against people who are so further below me level-wise that I one-shot them.
Yeah.
So, I think it's, for me, it's too early to start thinking strategy on PvP, but I don't know. What about you?
I'm going to say the same. I have not actually gotten in all five battles every day, which is the first time since I really picked up, since the first tournament, because I didn't really play PvP before the tournament, because there was no end game for me. It didn't make any sense. I didn't care. And then the tournament came around. I played every tournament since. And this is the first time I haven't gotten in five battles, because I love free stuff. I don't care if it's 50,000 silver. I don't care if it's gloves we're collecting. I will collect it. It's what drives me to play any game.
Right.
And I just have been so busy. I haven't gotten all five in. And I looked up today just to see where I was. And I did get my battles in today. And I'm in diamond. And I keep coming back to wins on defense. And my team is just walking me up the ranks. As long as I have the percentage level to be in vibranium right now, I think. I just don't have the battles fought yet. So I'm like, thanks, defense. I'll get you a cookie next time I'm out.
Nice.
Klotz, are you on the same page there? You're just kind of getting it in as you can?
Yeah, that's really the whole thing, is just trying to get it when I can. Today was actually the first time I got all five PvP battles since PvP started. It's funny. The only real strategy I have right now is I reach for my tub of Vaseline every time I see Null. And just, to touch back a little bit on the report we got from Agent Gecko, is that seeing him come, like, he basically said that Null is like the go-to defensive choice now. We might be drifting a little bit towards that whole Quicksilver situation we used to have. I mean, Quicksilver still bounces around, and you still see him pop up, and you see like Quick Lock and stuff from time to time. But we might be edging a little bit towards where you have to start asking, is Null a little bit too good? I'm not calling for nerfs necessarily, but it's something that I hope Playdom is paying attention to.
I hear these stories, but my experience has not been bad against Null. Every once in a while, I lose to him, but I lose more to Rogue Beast teams still than I do to Null anything.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. Lots of people are saying that. For some reason, I just haven't experienced that.
Well, the other thought I have, too, is I wonder if it's a balance issue for like 300 versus everybody else. You know, like Null just might be virtually unbeatable for you if you're not 300. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I say that I've beaten Null before. You know what I mean? Like, so don't get me wrong, But a lot of times I just run into somebody who's like, because the other thing that's implied with Null is because he costs so much, you know, you have to have so many heroes that are worth so much CP. The people that have Null are people who have played a lot. You know, like these are very serious players. They've played a lot. They've put the time in. They've worked hard for this reward. And so I'm definitely not trying to advocate taking that away from them or anything, but I'd like to see I'd like to hope that Playdom's paying attention. I'd like to see some numbers at some point. So by the end of this tournament, it'll be really interesting to see how things shake out, especially with John doing all these numbers and everything. And his analysis is really top-notch. That's the big thing. Like, he goes through and he, like, because I used to do, you know, the document with him as well. I was one of his early beta testers, and I was pretty hardcore about it in the early stages. I was recording every single fight and every little detail, and we really were able to go through and really pick apart what was going on. And we were even, like, to the point where we could see the trends shift every couple days. Like, people's defense teams and stuff would just shift because they were responding to what was going on, which, you know, it's really interesting. But I haven't seen that so much this time around, or the last couple PvP events, is that I just have not seen people trying to adjust to the meta. They're just kind of like jamming this one team and just pushing it, you know what I mean? So it'll be really interesting to see how things shake out. And I wouldn't be super surprised if Null at some point got a slight rebalancing, but I don't know. He's got an easy counter. You know, everybody's always looking to put off balance on him, and that really slows his roll. So they're relatively easy, relatively splashable mechanic that you can get to try to counter him, or at least reduce his effectiveness. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud here a little bit. I do that occasionally with you guys because you know, I love you guys. I love the Agents Only Lounge and our other awesome listeners, and I love to get the feedback from, you know, the wide swath of people, what their experiences are. So anybody out there, if you have like any interesting observations about this PvP as different from other ones, hit us up, let us know, because we'd really like to be able to talk about it and stuff. But yeah, that's really the only thing for me, is just that, like, Null, I just kind of cry a little bit inside when I see him, and just try to you know, get your five. I can't wait to see Destroyer. I can't wait to see how he plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, every time I see him, I hear this. They've used it in a couple of different movies. This sound for like the when aliens are going. Yeah. Exactly. The bromp. Yes. I hear that. Yeah. It's like, that's going to be in my head every
it's
time
really
I take
it. It's really funny because that was in my head before you even mentioned it.
Yeah, right. It's a natural thing, though. It's like that's the only sound that should ever go with him.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't.
It would be so great if they had it embedded in the game. And just whatever you
would
fight
make me
with
turn the sound back on if that was actually in there. Yeah.
That's the thing. I know different communities have mod communities, and that's not really, I don't think, a possibility in a Facebook type game. But if it were, we would totally have an FTH sound mod community to add sounds, because I hear all kind of cool sounds in my head. When I play this thing on mute constantly, and, you know, I'd put like little 1960s Joker ha ha ha's coming from Loki as he does his thing, you know, when he dodges. Mm-hmm. We'd add all kind of fun stuff. It'd be a blast. Just saying, Playdom. Just saying. All right, so it is time to mention the people's names who have written in and given us some things to think about.
And Agent Greg is the first one up. Agent Greg says, recruited Beta Ray Bill this morning. Insert the Homer Simpson woohoo here. This may have been the quickest I've ever recruited an SO hero. Probably would have had him a day sooner if I had any luck on the daily spin for UISO. Even so, this has been a fun spec op. Really like the new bosses and zombie mods. And I know there's some complaints about ruined metal drops, but I didn't have a problem getting enough. A whopping 5 for the SO tasks. Now that I've Beta Ray Bill, I'll farm for metals and the epic weapon. At least I have room to breathe before PvP 19 drops. I'm also one cover away from getting Enchantress. Was very fortunate to get 6 covers before opening a duplicate. That is freaking awesome. Nice job, nice. Greg. And now my bar is 2 ticks away from being guaranteed a cover. Just need some certers to pop up on my mission screens. As always, thanks for the great show, and keep up the outstanding work, Greg.
Now, the point, I think he sent this in like late Tuesday after the show, or even Wednesday, and then PvP dropped right after the email came out. It's like, well, good. I guess you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's perfect timing for him then, because he pretty much had Spec Ops all wrapped up. This has been a fun Spec Ops. Nothing game changing as far as a format or strike teams or things like that. But we don't need that every time. It's a good solid Spec Ops. It's a good solid character that that we receive. At least maybe we'll see once we get him ISO'd up, gemmed up. But I've been having fun playing with them and trying to figure out what the great team ups are going to be. Need to go recheck out the Kingfisher video on Beta Ray Bill to find all that stuff out. But
now that we're kind of talking about it for a second, real quick, the one thing that I don't care for with the Spec Ops is the first mission being set in Savage Land, or the first area. Because I'm a little tired of them jamming us into these same locations over and over again because that happens to be the most recent one that they developed or whatever. Have you noticed that? Like, it kind of happened with Wakanda. Wakanda came out, and then they're like, oh, everything happens in Wakanda now.
Lots of Wakanda, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's happening with Savage Lands because Savage Lands was, you know, it's been out for a while now, but it's still one of the relatively new tile sets, if you will, to use a term other games might use. So it's just so funny, like how they kind of like, let's completely warp the storyline to have things happen here.
It's funny. We've had New York, we've had Wakanda, we've had Savage Land. We have had, I forgot to turn my, audio off. It would be great. Why didn't we have an Asgard, or have we had an Asgard? Oh yeah, we had London.
I don't think we've had an Asgard. I would love the Seven Worlds? The whole of Jotunheim, Midgard. Right. Yeah, I'd love to bounce between the worlds would be kind of fun too.
There's nine realms.
Nine realms. See, that's why I asked and didn't say it as a fact.
Right.
Thor's missing.
Well, it would help a little bit if you paid attention in like literature and history class in high school, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I'm getting it for both of you guys. What in the world?
All right, why don't you make up for it by reading the next letter? All
right, I'll do that. Again, I get the name that I'm not exactly sure, but they didn't correct me on the saying of this. Agent Pontes. Hello, I'm here. Now that PvP is upon us and the new PvP items are for sale, I would like to know what PvP items you currently have. I'll go ahead and answer that. Mine are all the gold ones from the last ones that I spent gold on, and now you can get for silver. And I'm winning them. So I don't have any of the new stuff. I'm guessing you guys are probably the same. You have whatever you had in the last PvP?
Yep, pretty much.
All right.
Just with a few extra lockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to replace the last Spec Ops items. Because I only did my offensive team with the gold items when we had the controversy.
Then we had the controversy where the Mad Tech or whatever came out for silver, the Mad Tech grenade or whatever it was, and that was actually just as good or a little bit better than the gold items. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have, I think, is the Mad Tech grenade in there, and some of the lockets and those kind of things.
Yeah, I'm in the process of literally right now updating to the armbands from the current Spec Ops. So that's it for that stuff, because I still have the gold items that I bought. So I'll probably ride those out for another PvP tournament at least.
Yep. So he goes, I asked this, or she, I guess it could be either way, he or she. I asked this because I can't decide if 9K on both attack and defense on an attack team is better overall than a full 13K attack. Of course, it should depend a lot on factors like the heroes, gears, enemy stats, and enemy PvP items and such. But that is a whole lot of stuff to calculate. Has anyone ever tested this out with different teams and items? I was thinking a full 13K attack on attack team and 9K on defense team, but I don't have a lot of data to base that on. On a side note, hot damn! Getting the gloves and SO and PvP. It's the busiest December all over again, and I was actually hoping to finish Season 2, Chapter 6 to get some extra gold in order to buy Loki Lot Buckers. Oh, well. So, Agent Ponce, that's about really... It comes down to, one, you got to look at what adjusts on attack. And I know, again, Agent Gecko put out a lot of information on this. I'm trying to get it correct. But if you look at it, if you highlight, you'll see the numbers at the bottom. It'll show you... I'm trying to picture the screen because I'm on a mission right now. But if you go to your armory... and go down to the bottom where it says your attack and defense scores, and you just mouse over the attack, it'll show you the three stats that it adjusts. So it's not just attack, defense. It actually, on attack, it adjusts attack, evasion, and accuracy, I believe. And on defense, it adjusts defense, health, and stamina, something along those lines.
Evasion is one of the defensive stats.
Okay. So go look at it. It'll show you. So really, I personally, and it, this is where it comes down to your personal feelings on it. I try to jack up my defense mostly for survivability. And that started back when Quick Lock was a massive team. And I put everything I had into defense because he would go, Quicksilver would go first. Points to anybody in the chat room who remembers what we used to call him. But Quicksilver would go first and you would be destroyed. But with defense, my defense was high and my health was high because I jacked up the defense on my armory and I would survive. And once I survived, I could kill the team because they weren't that strong. They were a glass cannon. Any other tips you guys have on that?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback on what you said, it really depends on the kind of team that you're running. You know, if you've got a team that can hit hard and one shot and you know, really do some damage, you know, maybe it is a good idea to throw some of the items in your armory that have a big attack bonus, a big offensive bonus, and not as big defensive bonus, or maybe do a half and half where you've got 50% of the items in your armory are the equal, you know, the the middle, and then the other half are the strong offense, because that can, you know, that can bolster an attacking team, a heavy attacking team. And likewise, if you've got a team that maybe is a little bit glass cannon kind of thing, you want to have a little bit more on the defense. Same goes for either way. So it's one of those things that if you're going to be changing your teams in the offense and defense, some thought needs to be given towards supporting their weaker stats with the armory items. So, you know, having
distant support. The only thing for me is that I kind of do the opposite of that.
Oh, really?
My logic is that if you're playing a glass cannon build, you're all about getting them dead as quickly as possible. Like, you want to do maximum damage. So I would stack offense in that case. Like for example, McFall, you often play like heavy hitting teams.
Yeah,
I do. So I would stack offense in that situation because you, if it's a true glass cannon build, meaning that you have a hero that does a lot of damage but is relatively vulnerable to, you know, getting attacked, such as like Havoc, for example. When Havoc was a big part of the meta, you know, he did a ton of damage, but he was relatively weak, you know what I mean? So that was the whole thing. In that situation, it's, you really want to maximize that damage. You want to make sure that when you punch hard. But then, you know, like, for example, the kind of teams that McFall plays, you play a lot of like these scrapper and bruiser teams, right? Like, you usually play... You play the brawler types, you know, where those guys are a little tankier. So, like, generally, you can afford to either do a mixed stack or, like, you can stack defense and grind out and, like, really get by on the strength of how tanky your guys are innately and then just enhance that. And you're going to win. It's not quite an attrition battle at that point for you, but it's, you're going to out grind your opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's really how I look at it, is I try to allocate. Like, so when I bought gold items last time, I bought the offensive offensive side ones because my team is still Nico and War Machine, and it's Pepsi War Machine, you know. So, like, I'm really trying to do a lot of damage quickly. Like, I'm by stacking offense, I'm trying to get my dot damage up as high as possible, and I'm also trying to, when I make, like, when I use Nico's big attack there. I forget what it's called right now because I haven't actually looked at the name of abilities in a while. When I go to use that, I want to kill everybody, you know, like, so I want, and also she has, you know, back from the brink. So she's not really so oriented around being defensive. You know what I mean? She already has.
She doesn't need a strong defense support.
Mm-hmm. It helps. Like, I mean, I'm sure if I played around with it and like had the luxury of having a full, if only we could have a full toolbox of these items so that we could really mess around and test and not have it cost a million gold every time we switch our armories up. It would be really, really cool to see if, like, if I made my team a lot, you know, more defense based and just tried to grind it out on the on my dots and everything and attrition, that would be really interesting too. But that's kind of the whole thing, is you really got to like figure out what your team is, how you're going to approach, you know, each fight, and look to basically either balance yourself out or really accentuate if you're going for like hardcore glass cannon, or really accentuate defense. Like if you're playing Groot on defense, you want to allocate for defense. You want him to be as tanky as possible. Mm-hmm. You want him to take a beating and then some.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying there, is that you want to take the stat that you need to support and beef it up so that it does an even better job of doing what it does.
Oh, see, like I heard you say at the end there, I heard you talking about shoring up their weaknesses.
No. The first thing I was saying was, hey, if you've got a team that hits hard and attacks hard, bolster their attack. So
yeah. So but, we're in agreement.
Yeah, exactly. Use it to boost the way you play. TLDR, boost the way you play.
Wait, what?
TLDR.
Next. Go ahead.
Paul,
God, read the next one.
Wow. This is a long email.
Yeah.
Agent Nikolai writes in with yet another. Okay, Nikolai, we have to have a conversation. You happen to talk to the guy who can get you published on the website. So you talk to me quite often. So it's about time you start submitting articles rather than, you know, 8-page thesis level emails. So, you know, let's talk. Hit me up.
Otherwise, you're going to get a TLDL. Just too long, didn't listen.
It's a TLDR, but I'm not going to, we're not going to talk about that too much, because I got, you know, I got slammed pretty hard for giving you a hard time about that last week. Because apparently there's some other geriatric minded individuals.
Everybody likes the special kid on the bus. I'm just saying.
Yeah. We just learned that there's a bit of a cultural schism between people who know what TLDR means and people who don't. Anyways, this is what Nikolai had to say. The amount of content is quite acceptable, actually. PvP, spec ops, buildable and decent weapon set, and the best thing, PD fixing a pre-existing set, the maddening set. Specifically, the blade and gadget, which were frustrating. The blade would apply both bleeding and shredded to a target, and the gadget would disorient you even with at least another piece of the set. Now they work as intended. Bleeds to organics and shreds to mechs, yeah. Characters this time are quite a lot to take in. Two lockboxes for the Enchantress and the freaking Destroyer. Mm-hmm. Never expected Destroyer as an LB character. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise, though, I thought.
Yeah, I was really like, I was thrown for a loop, and at the same time, I was like, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. And him just being a walking piece of Uru that you just point and stand back. So the question is, who the hell's running it? Did Loki trap some poor fool that we have no idea about? I don't know. I'll wait for the story explanation to come in the near future, TM. Billy Ray. I call him that because he just breaks my achy, breaky black heart. Oh. And because he likes country music and running free along the countryside.
Wow.
He's quite underwhelming, to be honest. He's cannonball with a hammer. All over the place, takes ages to set up, has the wrong follow-up / counter, in my opinion, which is his L1, and has a long face that's bringing me down. If his counter follow-up was his L2, then you'd have something to work with, because gaining breakthrough instead of covered is more to the benefit of the character and his history. He should be as strong as Thor, but instead he's pulled out of the catchy song, Pink Fluffy Corbinites Dancing on Bifrosts. Wow, he's getting deep here with his references. Enchantress, on the other hand, is quite good. Works really well with the attrition exploiters and with Morbius, who's the only other character that can exploit Delirium, and with Flanked in the mix. She manages to stack enough attrition for a one-shot, or at least a crippling blow, from which you can just let the dots do the work for you. Emerald Wave has full team wipeout potential and is quite shiny and green. Reminds me of Absinthe. Angela and Destroyer, I won't touch yet because they're still in the acquiring stages. I've gotten over the fact that her belt's bigger than her shorts and that she can very well strangle herself with those ribbons. When I remember that we have freaking Tarzan, Jane, and Garfield as playables. Next week or sometime in the near future, TM, I'm hoping to patent that. I'll devise my own list of things that need to be changed for all classes to make some of them not relevant, or some to make some of them, if not relevant, then at least enjoyable. Cheers and good show. Hi-ho, Billy Ray, away.
I hate you, Nikolai, just from the deepest, darkest now, part of my country heart. I just...
On a quick side note, we ended up having a conversation in the Agents Only Lounge about Beta Ray Bill. And I forget... Oh, somebody brought up the Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy
thing. Yeah, I did see that in the lounge. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that I mentioned it, and I think somebody else had mentioned it too. I don't remember who said it first, but we arrived at Save a Norse, Ride a Corbinite.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which I thought was awesome.
And then I think it was Matt Burdell, and if it wasn't Matt Burdell, I'm really sorry if it was somebody else, but they did a mock-up through one of those sites where you can make merch, like t-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With like how the t-shirt would look and everything, and it was amazing. I'm sure you can actually go there and actually order it. It was incredible, and I was like, man, I would so love that to be a thing, because nobody would get it.
See, I did not realize that was a mock-up. I saw it fly past on one of my feeds, and I thought somebody had actually made that shirt, like officially. And like, that's a cool shirt, because I get the reference.
It's made to the point that you can buy it.
That's you know, awesome.
It hasn't been printed yet, but if you buy one, they print one. It's one of those.
Somebody put the link at the top of the lounge so that I can go in and see how much it's going to cost. I would buy one of those, especially for Dragon Con. You know, everybody's going to be asking you about that, right? Dragon Con.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You guess you have to listen to the show. Here's my card.
Nice. Agent Love Monkey wrote in, said, reporting in once again, PvP launched and I decided that I wanted to see how far I could go. I in no way expect to get adamantium, but wanted to see how I would do just by trying more than my standard 5 battles a day. The hope was to get out of Gold League and maybe, just maybe, get the new agent uniform, since the best I have yet is the Generalist Trench that you can research for free. I missed the Generalist Empowered suit last year because I didn't understand the game very well. 3 days into PvP, I've done 86 attacks. Wow.
Nice.
What do I have to show for it? Absolutely nothing. Still barely clinging on to Gold League, about to redrop down into Silver League. Just today, in fact, I did 5+ fights this morning and then did 5+ more in the afternoon, winning all but one battle. I log on about 40 minutes later after that second group of battles, and what do I find? A negative 56 rating change, erasing pretty much everything I've done today. So glad I spent at least an hour and a half doing PvP to lose it all in 40 minutes to AFK battles. I know there's a lot to PvP, such as hero bonus, turn order, armory bonus, etc. I'm working on those, hero bonus especially, as fast as I can. And I know there's still tons of time left in the tournament, and I will keep fighting and seeing how far I can go. But if the most excited I get for PvP is logging in and seeing your rating has not changed, it makes me wonder why bother more than the standard 5. Anyway, my Quinjet is ready on the flight deck. Agent Love Monkey out. And he posted a quick update. After the first email, I went to bed, woke up, logged in, and after farming CP, I decided to check my rating. In 8 hours, I'm down another 109 points, making that 150 plus in less than 24 hours. I guess it's back to the daily 5 and then done. How does Playtum expect me to recover from 150, negative 150 plus every day and then gain more than that?
It doesn't say what his agent level is, does it?
Right. If he's top leveling it, that's a good question.
That's the thing. Below 200, there's a ranking of its own, right? Mm-hmm. So you can just you can really fight and do well. And above, you know, where you hit 300, again, there's a ranking of its own. But in that 200 to 300 range, it's tough. Even with this whole 60, everybody's at level 60, it still doesn't play, I don't think. I think it's still the experience you have is based off of your actual agent rating. I just don't see why us all being level 60, it doesn't seem to do anything. It's not really level ground, because What he's describing is exactly what I went through from 250 to 300 easy, of just you fight and you fight and you fight and you make no progress. And I hear lots of reports on that. And either you spend a lot of time and money on getting your team right and getting your all your agents to level 13 or 10 or above at least. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, 14s are best. You buy the stuff to put in your armory, and it's still, you still come out in Gold League.
Yeah.
Then it's just a matter of your agent rank.
Yeah, I would look maybe at your defensive team and just see if there's anything you can do to beef that up. You know, look at some of the information that we had with Agent Gecko earlier and see, like, all right, if you've got a team that can take out some of the biggies that people are using, Null, Gamora, for example, Groot, then that might be the team to roll with on your defense, just to see if that maybe helps. Don't change everything all at once, just do little changes. And it's early enough in the PvP that you can do that. Mm-hmm. Substitute out a weapon here or a hero there and just see if that helps things at all.
Yeah, it says, and use the Spec Ops Research consumable for your armory is a choice here. We've talked about that. And quite honestly, if you can, you know, it's a lot cheaper than buying gold. If you can go into patreon.com/ from the helicarrier and become a level 4 patron, and that's just $4 a month. I mean, we ask for $4 an episode, but you get to control what you donate. But the minimum level on level 4 is $4 a month. That will get you to tracker. And I got to tell you, it won't change. If you're between 250 and 300, it's still not really going to change your experience. But getting the tracker helped me understand my team builds more. And actually, Klotz and I were talking about that before the show again, was we don't use it as much anymore. I'm super busy. I just pop in and out. He has a different reason. But I think we both, all three of us actually have used it, learned what new ways to think about our teams, and just integrated that into how we see PvP. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very good training tool to help you see it differently. But again, I'm going to tell you, between 250 and 300, you just got to level up. That's mm-hmm. that's all you
it's
need.
It's the fatal funnel. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Love Monkey. Oh, so, go ahead. Oh,
real quick to follow up on that conversation about the t-shirt. Matt Burdell was actually in Twitch chat, and he said he'd love to take credit for it, but that wasn't his idea. So I did research it in the Agents Only launch. It was actually Nick McMillan. So, Nick, thank you. Sorry I didn't give credit where credit was due. Matt came up with the idea of using Bad Horse's theme song from Dr. Horrible Beta Ray Built.
Yeah.
And nice. That I completely agree with. That would be amazing as well. That I'd get a crack. I'd crack up every time that happened. I'd get a real big kick out of that. So, yeah, credit where credit is due. You know, we got an awesome bunch of people in the Agents Only launch who just have some really awesome ideas. And sometimes we talk about things in passing on the show, and then all of a sudden they just materialize in the lounge. Like,
yeah.
Amazing art, you know, things that we just said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, and then all of a sudden they just appear there a couple hours later. So big shout out to the lounge. We have some pretty awesome conversations and stuff. So yeah, you can continue now. I give you back the reins of the show.
From one of my favorite listeners of the show, she only writes in from time to time, but she's recommended people to our show, including somebody who wrote in and said, Agent Gwildor recommended me. And we all went, who the hell is that? And we felt really bad because Gwildor used to write in all the time. From mm-hmm. the helicarrier, in a PvP, when you lose a match against an opponent that has twice the stats you do, how come you lose 20 to 25 points in ranking, but when you defeat a similar opponent, you only receive 10 to 12 points? We don't know. That's mm-hmm. still kind of messed up. I've seen that. Yeah, you get
trounced. Frustrating as hell. Yeah.
Worse off is you defeat somebody, you trounce somebody, and you get 0 to 1 point moving up. It's like, come on, you know, at least be even. If I get blasted by somebody's way over me, overpowered, I will lose a ton of points, and that's not cool, man. I am also receiving a number of errors stating that the game has been updated when I'm starting a PvP match. When this happens, it's an automatic loss and I get negative 20 to 25 points. How am I losing the match when I didn't even get to play? I love the sign off. Thanks and stay smooth, Playboys. Agent Gwildor. Again, I think I hope they're still working on that because I haven't experienced that in a long time. But yeah, when you would just get those refreshes before you get into the battle itself and you come back to negative massive points, it's why even bother?
Mm-hmm. Well, the elephant in the room is that this is an ELO system, which was popularized by chess in particular. And it's basically a system where your wins, especially as you advance higher in rank, earn you less and less points, but your losses cost you huge. And personally, I'm not a fan of this system. Like, competitive Magic the Gathering used to use a system like this for a long time, all the way up until the late 2000s. And they ended up ultimately doing away with it because it was the pro circuit. You know, the people who really grinded, were top level of play and everything, they were frustrated with the fact that they weren't going to events, they weren't participating in tournaments, because they would go, and if they just had a bad hand or whatever and lost a game, they would lose so many points. And so a couple losses on one night could put them back months or weeks of point, you know, weeks or months, I should say, in the right order. If you understand what I mean, like, of the points that they had accumulated from all these hard fought matches where they were just grinding out, okay, well, here's a couple points, here's a couple points. So we get the same thing in MAA, except we have the luxury of just kind of like spamming battles, but that's almost prohibitive. You know, like I talked about a couple of tournaments ago where I got really frustrated where I was spamming battles and I could almost not get ahead of, you know, the teams that I just couldn't beat, and then the losses that I would take while I was spamming the battles from defensive battles and get ahead. And so I totally, we've gotten two letters here that kind of highlight this as an issue. I think it's a pretty widespread issue for a lot of people. The frustration with the fact that your wins mean so little, but your losses, you're like so hugely penalized for. And even your defensive losses, like, you have no control over those. So it's like, it's not even like you misplayed or made mistakes.
Yeah.
It's just, so it's a little frustrating. I don't know what the solution is, though. Like, I mean, there's got to be an elegant design solution that would arrive at a much better experience for everybody, but I don't know it. So if anybody has any ideas that we, you know, you'd like to pitch to us so that we can talk about it on the show and get it out there, please hit us up. Like, if you've seen an interesting way that another game handles this kind of mechanic, I'd love to talk about it, because it's really the core of it for a lot of people. I mean, I think this is one of those things that pushes a lot of people who would PvP more away, because they just get so frustrated and so, you know, like, crestfallen, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've got another email that we're not going to get to today, because we got to talk about some other things before we get out of here. But again, talked about PvP is Agent Disco Age Cage, and we love when he writes in. He's asking some things about rankings, but that's going to be on thehelicarrier.com, and you can click on From the Flight Deck, or if you subscribe to the newsletter, every Saturday they go out, and you can read all the emails, both the ones that we missed and the ones that we've read. MAA Clairvoyant has breaking news just out in the chat room. We have confirmed that sleeping in a room wallpapered with pages of the Fashante will not give additional superpowers. Claim your free lost pages here, and he's got the link from Playdom.
Wow. So
that's the bonus that they're sending out today. So that's pretty cool.
This just in. Yeah. Nice.
It's fun. So a few things to wrap up the show here. A little bit of show business. Oh, I want to give a tip. So last week we talked about the Fixer, right? And we talked about using him with Surtur. And I read between the lines, and some other people were telling me some things. We didn't verbalize this, and I think we should, because I did not know this trick. The trick with Fixer is, I did not know you could stack his mines up.
Yeah.
I had idea.
And in a certain order. You want to do it basically alphabetically by color. Green, pink, red, or purple.
Green, purple, red. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I saw some chat between you, Ibit, and somebody in the chat room, and I picked up on that, and somebody else said something. So I kind of put the pieces together and tried it out, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, that third blast when the blast grenade goes off is just fantastic. That is a thing of beauty.
So what we're talking about, if you're still not quite following, is you take Fixer into battle against a group boss, and you change his status to tactician first, or as a... yeah, whatever. You mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about. Yeah, tactician. Yep. And you throw out a mine, and that ends his turn. And you keep protecting, you mean against Wizard? Whatever, Kilgara. Shut up. So I apparently said it wrong.
A battle with Surtur. I'm going into a battle with Surtur.
I don't know
about
you, but Playdom gave me Surtur as a lockbox hero. So there. And he's level 15 already. Anyway. All right, so you throw out the tactician mine. The next turn, you flip him over to infiltrator, which is purple. Throw out that mine. Third turn, you flip over to blaster, throw out that mine. Fourth turn, you unless you carried in the breaching kit with your agent, because then you can maybe go ahead and blast him, you hit him with his first attack, his first blaster attack, the guns that it triggers all the mines in order. Right. So that last blast, especially if you have someone like Deadpool or the cube where you make sure you save the chaos till right before you're going to hit with the last fixer blast, or you know, anybody who does extra dots, right? Red dots. Because that's I take in Deadpool because he hits hard and he has that third level more dots attack. And then you trigger the bomb on the fourth round before he escapes. And I think the highest I hit was 212,000 hit points on Surtur, which was pretty awesome. And that's when he only had like 3% health left. But still, it was nice to see that number pop up.
If you and if you go to mission 111-4, the boss reward is the damage amplifier.
Okay, there you
go. If you use that in concert with that, then you can do a million over a million damage.
Nice. I think I have the damage amplifier. I didn't even think about that.
So yeah. Yeah.
Learning new things every day. That's just wicked awesome.
That's a big old booster. It's a quick action so you can them.
And what's that? I'm probably forgetting them.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a quick action, so you can use that right before you use the breaching kit and just pound them.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. So we also, okay, so the podcast 2015 10th Annual Podcast Awards were nominations were announced Sunday night. We had asked you guys to go and nominate us and our friends, which you did, and it was awesome. And how many did you end up pulling in, Ibit? You got, I know.
All the other shows I'm in got nominated. So Film Sack, The Morning Stream, and Coverville all got nominations.
All great shows. All great shows.
Yeah, I was bummed to see that that this one didn't get it, but next year. I mean, that's a huge competitive category. I'd say gaming is probably one of the most competitive categories in podcast awards because gamers love creating podcasts. As we've shown here, gamers love creating podcasts about the games that they love. So there's a lot of them out there. So we'll get them next year. We'll get in the nominees next year. But it is a daily vote process. So if you would not mind going daily to podcastawards.com and throwing your vote the way of Coverville, if you want to vote for Film Stack for movies, if you want to vote for The Morning Stream, I always recommend that if it's a show you like or if it's a show you've checked out, and there's nothing else in the list that you like better, then throw out a vote for it. I'm certainly not in the mindset of saying, "Hey, I know you've never listened to or heard of this show before, so give it a vote." So check out Coverville if you like it, especially that Hair Metalville show I did a few weeks ago. That seemed to be a big popular one. Then cast a vote towards Coverville or any other podcast that you enjoy.
And Success Freaks pulled down the nomination in general.
Yeah. So got to plug that too.
And I can tell you, there's nothing better in general. Just go ahead and vote for us. That's fine.
Boy, they hopefully with the with them taking over, with New Media Expo taking over the podcast awards and getting control of that, they will refactor the categories because a category called general a category called entertainment. I mean, there's some real work that needs to happen. Have them just go look at iTunes and base their categories on the same categories that iTunes groups their podcasts in.
Now, I'm going to ask. I actually don't ever ask you to not vote for somebody. I say the same thing as Ibit. You know, I do. I say,
oh God.
And there's been years where I check out the other shows in my category and go, man, this is a really good show. So if you're not going to vote for me, vote for them. But this year, we're up against possibly the most popular freaking podcast in the world right now, Serial. But I want to say this. Look, they're done by NPR. They're an amazing show. People love them. But you know what? They get other real world awards. Let me have the podcast award. Vote for me, please.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It would be great for them to win in the People's Choice category because they're also nominated there.
Vote for them there.
Vote for them there because here's the cool thing. If they win there and Success Freaks wins in general, or Coverville wins in music.
Yep.
The publicity of them getting the podcast award, of Serial getting the podcast award, because that is a publicity train, that thing. So having them win, and then, oh, well, who are the other winners in all the other categories? Boom, it's a huge publicity thing. So
yes, absolutely.
So vote for them for People's Choice, unless there's something you like better in that category. But yeah, Success Freaks over in general.
And, you know, Klotz said he refused to bring this up on the show, but it was such a good story, I had to bring it up real quick. Is that apparently police departments are using Roadhouse to teach their officers how to be nice to people when talking to them. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Klotz.
Yeah. I was telling McFaul before the show that I was watching Jimmy Fallon the other night, and in his opening monologue, he mentioned that I think it was NYPD was using Roadhouse to educate their officers on how to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
That's awesome.
And I just started cracking up immediately, because I was like, this is too perfect.
It is.
Apparently, your love of this film is having an impact in the wider world.
You know what? Because I'm a trendsetter. Serial did not start podcasting till Emmett and I started podcasting. I'm just saying. They came after us.
Oh, they came after us. Totally well after us. Yeah, 10 years after after us.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here.
Well, with that being said, you can find more of Agent Emmett over at Coverville.com.
Yes, you can. You can also find more of Agent McFaul by going to Facebook.com/House
of the Bear. And I just posted something really cool up there. I forget what it was on. Oh, I guess it's Podcast Awards. But anyway, yes.
You forgetting things? Really?
You know, I'm sorry. When you're as busy and as popular and as fruitful as I am, you know, things happen.
Well, speaking of how fruitful you are and other things that you're involved in, I think we could take a minute in this outro to mention that I finally listened to Ermagerd, your mashup show. And if you guys haven't checked that out, you need to check it out, like, as soon as possible. Because if you think McFaul derails this show on a regular basis, and he does.
I do.
You have not met McFaul's wife, who manages, I mean, listening to McFaul struggle to keep things on the rails is probably the most entertaining part. It's a great conversation
too.
Yeah. Oh yes, it's so glorious. Like it's
and
so
then good. She has to yell at. Then she yells at me. She's like, "I'm talking when I try to get it."
Yeah.
And if nothing else, this episode 7 that just released this week, it has suggestions from not only Archdemon Nikolai, which was a great suggestion he sent in, but also Snorri sent in a suggestion, who also is known in the chat rooms and as a listener of this show. And we played both of those there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I had to share with everybody how much of a kick I got out of it, because it's hilarious.
Thank you.
It's really good. Yep.
And you can find more of Agent Klotz listening to Ermagerd at mashuppodcast.com. Also, yes, like he said to Nikolai earlier, send him the articles. We are ready to start publishing articles on thehelicarrier.com. Send them to, you can send it to fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. Or if you know Klotz personally on the page, you can send it to him. Or, of course, put it in Agents Only Lounge. There's many ways to get it to us. Check out thehelicarrier.com for strategy and news articles, as well as the entire podcasting archive. Music is provided by The Beginning at Last. Again, email us from thehelicarrier@gmail.com. Rate us on iTunes. And our Twitter feed is from thehelicarrier, FT Helicarrier. It's at FT Helicarrier on Twitter. I will say it right here in a second.
And with that, the boss has fled.